Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Thursday, February the 29th, bonus day. Bonus day, lanyap, extra. This is a bonus day. We only get it once every 4 years, guys. Yes, and it happens to be also the second week of Advent, or Advent, listen to me. No, Lent, not Advent. For some reason, my computer is not charging. So anyway, it's the second week of Lent. So glad that you guys are on. We're continuing on in our readings on this bonus day through Genesis chapter 42, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and Mark 4 today. So welcome, everybody. Welcome to all the new subscribers. There's several new folks who've jumped on. It's awesome. Thank you for subscribing to the YouTube channel. It started at like 10. I think now we're up to like 160, 170 subscribers to the YouTube channel. So that's awesome. So that way you, good thing about subscribing is it notifies you when when new episodes are on. So awesome. All right, you guys, let's do it. Let's jump in. Hope you guys are doing well today. This is our last podcast of the week. We'll be back at it on Monday. Let's make it a good one. You know, let's just make it a good one. All right, let's jump in. You know we do. We read, we pray, we change the world. Oh, praise God, Adam. Glad to hear that. That is awesome. Good report. No spread of cancer. That's amazing. Great to hear. All right, where are we? Genesis 42, 29 to 38. And we're in the Joseph story, as you'll recall from yesterday. Get my page here. 29 to 48, so 29 till the end of the chapter. All right. When they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them. They said, "The man who is Lord over the land spoke harshly to us." Yeah, he could have been much worse. All he did was speak harshly. He could have done a whole lot worse than that after what y'all did to him. And treated us though we were spying in the land. But we said to him, "We are honest men," which they weren't that honest, but okay. "We are honest men. We are not spies. We were 12 brothers, sons of one father. One is no more, and the younger is now with our father in Canaan." Verse 33, "Then the man who is Lord over the land said to us, 'This is how I will know whether you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me and take food for your starving households and go.'" So they're trying to reassure Jacob, right? "We're just trying to let you know why our brother isn't with us. Just, you know, don't, it's, this is what happened. He good. "Leave one of your brothers here with me and take food for your starving households and go, but bring your youngest brother to me so I will know that you are not spies but honest men." Excuse me. "Then I will give your brother back to you and you can trade in the land." As they were emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was a pouch of silver. When they and their father saw the money pouches, they were frightened. It's like, oh no, we've been set up. We've been framed. Somebody put money in our pouches to make it look like we stole it. Their father Jacob said to them, "You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more and Simeon is no more, and now you want to take Benjamin? Everything is against me." Then Reuben said to his father, "You may put both of my sons to death if I do not bring him back to you. Entrust him to my care, and I will bring him back." So Reuben steps up and says, "I'm taking this into my own. You can count on me, Dad. There you go. We're gonna do this right." But Jacob said, "My son will not go down there with you. His brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm comes to him on the journey you are taking, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in sorrow." So he was reluctant to do it. He's like, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can part with him again, another son. You can't blame him. I mean, he's lost one son, and another son seems to be, there's some suspicion around that one. And now they want to take yet a third son. It's like, I don't know if I can do that. All right, let's jump over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 12 through 20. Welcome, everybody. We are doing our readings through the scriptures from for the second week of Lent. And we read a passage from the Old Testament, we read a passage from the epistles, and we read a short passage from the Gospels. Although yesterday, we didn't get to the Gospels. We got so caught up in 1 Corinthians 6, we didn't even get there. So I think we're going to get there today, because that first one was not a lot to comment on that. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 12 through 20. "I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial." Excuse me. Allergy season, man. Allergy season. "I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is permissible, or not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." So the Corinthians are basically saying, I can do anything I want. You know, this is like a little Paul's showing them what they're saying, and then he's responding to it. I have the right to do anything you say. Anything. I have the right to do anything. Yes, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything. Yes, but you don't want to be mastered by anything. You do not want to be enslaved to anything. And we shouldn't be as Christians. "The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also." Okay, so he's just saying, like, the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us so that we can abstain from things that are destructive to us, and certainly not be mastered by things that are destructive to us. Sinful attitudes, sinful behaviors, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to the believer to give us victory over whatever we're battling. The cross and the life of the Christian is not a life of basically unrestraint. It's not that's not the life of the Christian. There should be some power to live this godly life that he's called us to. "By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. I mean, Paul had a lot to say about sexual immorality, obviously, because he talked about, because of that very point, that we are members of the body of Christ, that in Paul's mind, in the biblical understanding, we are members of the body of Christ. So what we do with our bodies, what we do with, it's not just a spiritual thing. I mean, sometimes you say, oh, yeah, spiritually, we're the members of the body of Christ. Yeah, we are. We're spiritually united as members of the body of Christ, but that includes your physical, your flesh. That includes the totality of your being. And so Paul's like, if you are now set apart for the purposes of God, it does matter what you do with your body. In terms of sexual, what you do sexually, what you eat, where you go, what you see, what you put yourself in, because the body also is a member, is connected to Jesus. It's not just your spirit. And that's what the Corinthians were doing. The Corinthians were separating the body from the spirit. They're saying, oh, yeah, our spirit is good. We're super spiritual, so it doesn't matter what I do with my flesh. And Paul's like, No. All of you is united with Christ. It's not just your unseen spirit that is united with Christ. It is not just the unseen spirit that makes the body of Christ. It is the totality of the person. So yes, it very much matters what you do with your body. That's why over and over Paul talks about we are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. And that means collectively we are the temple, but it also means individually you are part of the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in you, not just in your spirit, but in your flesh. So all of it should be set apart for God. Do you not know that your bodies are your bodies? That's what he says very clearly, right? Do you know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two shall become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So, he's saying, you know, it doesn't matter what you do sexually, your physical body. The Corinthians were like, no, we can do whatever we can do, you know, live these crazy lifestyles because it doesn't matter because my spirit is with Jesus. And Paul's like, no. There is something spiritual that happens when two people have sex. That's what he said. The two shall become one. And that's what's wrong with our culture is we have two extremes. We have one extreme that thinks that sex is everything. It's like the highest. And so people, you know, pursue that and exalt that as above everything, like the highest ideal, the highest goal is sex. And so in our culture, you know, you see it, they sell it. It's sold. Products are sold by exploiting it. So that's the one extreme. And the one other extreme is people who say, oh, it's nothing. Sex is nothing. It doesn't matter. Yeah, oh, it's something. Yeah. There is a spiritual thing that happens. There is a unity that happens that you cannot undo. And so the biblical truth is that sex should be respected. It should be revered, but not to the point of any kind of, worshiping it. But we should be respected in terms of its power. And Paul is kind of highlighting that for the Corinthians. He's like, man, you guys are getting a little mixed up. You think that it's just, that this walk with Christ is just a spiritual thing that is related to the unseen parts of your being, but no, it's also includes your body, your physical body. Verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples, there you go, of the Holy Spirit? There it is. Yeah, that wording makes it clear that he's talking about each, in this context, each individual is a temple, right? Because the NIV translates it, do you not know that your bodies are temples? So each one of your bodies is a temple. Your body is a temple. My body is a temple. Every Christian's body is a temple. It's not just together we make up the temple. That's said in other places. But here, it's that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So it matters what you do with your body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. That's pretty clear, man. Pretty clear. Honor God with your body. You were bought with a price. Man, that's good to be reminded of today. You were bought with a price. Christ paid a very high price for us through his sacrifice and death on the cross. He purchased our redemption. All right, we're going to get to the Gospels today. How about that? Mark chapter 4, 21 through 34. Mark 4, 21 through 34. Welcome, everybody. So glad you guys are on. A little bit of Jesus now. See what Jesus is saying. Mark 4, 21. He said to them, do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. The idea of letting your light shine, right? The idea is that, you know, Christ has entered our lives. We shouldn't hide what Jesus has done in our lives. We shouldn't hide the testimony of Jesus. We should be put like a lamp on a lampstand, right? Yeah. Verse 24. Consider carefully what you hear. Interesting. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. The measure, right? The measure, I mean, in this context of the lampstand, it's like God has given you. Let's remove that. That's just trying to start something. In the context of a lampstand, it's just giving light, right? And here he's saying, if you've been given the ability to witness and to share the light of God and to share the kindness of God and to share the grace of God and to share the witness of Jesus. If you don't use that, you're going to lose it, right? The measure you use, it will be measured to you even more. But if you use it, it's going to grow. God's going to do more with it than you ever imagined. It's the parable of the talents, right? You're given gifts and abilities. And, you know, our goal, our objective as followers of Jesus is to use all those gifts and talents and abilities, everything that's been entrusted to us, to bring a return, to making a difference for the kingdom of God. And it's not to bury those treasures. It's not to bury those gifts and abilities, not to bury those talents. It's about letting those things shine. Verse 26, This is what the kingdom of God is like. Okay. A man scattered seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it, because the harvest has come. I love this passage about the kingdom. Actually, it's one of my favorite ones, this little short passage, 4:26 through 29, because it illustrates the mystery of the kingdom of God, the mystery of the mysterious growth of the kingdom of God. So we, just like a farmer who plants seed, puts it in the ground, he does a lot of work. There's a lot of work that goes into that, but there's also a mysterious aspect that he has no control over, that the farmer can tend the soil, can, you know, do all the things properly, but there's a mysterious growth to the kingdom that is done in the that's done in the soil, right, that you can't see, and it grows that is outside the control of the farmer. And just like in the kingdom of God, we you know, we've been talking a lot about reaching those who are far from God, reaching family or family members and friends and neighbors who may reaching out to that one that God has placed in our life that needs to know Christ. And we plant, right? We build relationships, we encourage, we serve, we show compassion and kindness and hospitality. We hopefully get a chance to share our story about what God has done in our lives, share the story of the gospel of what Christ has done for all humanity. But the growth is mysterious. A lot of it is unseen, right? So we do all that we can do, but there's a mysterious growth of the kingdom that is beyond anything we can see or control. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in the people's lives. And that's kind of what he's saying. It's like all by itself. All by itself. The all by itself in that passage, that's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God doing work that is producing fruit. And it grows and it grows. And people become more like Jesus. They give their lives to Christ. They start to serve. They start to make disciples themselves. And you're like, wow, it's the mysterious growth of the kingdom. It's the mysterious growth of the kingdom. It's God doing God stuff. It's God. And that's the beautiful thing is, like, you know, we do the farming, but God makes it grow, man. God makes it grow. Verse 30. Are we going to 30? 34. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. So here he's talking about the how it starts so small, right? How the growth of the kingdom starts so small. And take this into account. Like Jesus, when he's telling these parables, we obviously know the church is worldwide. The body of Christ now has spread worldwide. We know that. But they didn't know that. When Jesus was saying these parables, it was the church, the body of Christ, consisted of about 12 dudes, you know, maybe a little more, maybe max 100, right, of followers of Jesus. And Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's very, very small. It seems insignificant. It seems like practically nothing. But when it's planted, it grows and it becomes one of the largest garden plants around, so much so that birds can perch in its shade. And do you know that's exactly what happened? It started from that small group of people, Jesus pouring into those that small group of people, of disciples, which seemed insignificant, was a mustard seed. And out of that, obvious now, billions of people with a B, billions of people around the world confess Jesus Christ as Lord. It has become this that mustard seed that began in Palestine has now literally blanketed the world. And you can see it in a micro level with the planting of churches, right? Churches that start with just a small group of people. Small group of people with a vision of reaching their community, reaching their friends and neighbors. And out of that, it grows and grows and grows and reaches other people. It's a beautiful, beautiful image of what Jesus has done and what he continues to do. So never underestimate small beginnings with the kingdom of God, with what when you're doing things for Christ, when you're doing things according to the Spirit of God. Never underestimate small things. Every big thing began as a small thing. Every big thing began as a small thing. And in the kingdom of God, it's the same way. Don't despise small beginnings, man. God can do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine. Verse 33, with many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. I love that. We used to have meetings for kind of what we call the core of the church, you know, outside of just Sunday morning, but people who wanted to know really what was going on in the church and what was coming up. And we would call those meetings Core 434. And it was based on this, Mark 434. Where you kind of, it's that idea that when Jesus would get along with his disciples, he would explain everything to them. So he would preach these incredible messages and talk in parables to the crowds, but when he would get along with his disciples, he would explain it, right? He would explain everything that they had seen and heard. It explained what he had taught in deep, in greater detail. So we kind of use that as our model, you know, to have a venue where we could explain things in more detail, and that's, you know, I think that's important. But man, what it would to be around those campsites or those gatherings and homes when Jesus sat with his disciples and explained everything in greater detail. Wow, what an amazing thought to ponder what that must have been like. Yeah. All right, guys, we got through them all today. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Tim, for sharing that. That's right, Zechariah 4:10, who dares despise the day of small things? Yeah. It's the miraculous multiplication factor of the kingdom that starts small. But so I would encourage you, you know, you're in your own life. Maybe you're starting to build a relationship with someone that you hope that you know that Jesus would really make a difference in their lives. And it just seems to be like you're starting very, very small with just an introduction, or maybe just having a coffee, or maybe just, you know, getting together every once in a while. Hey, don't despise the small beginnings, because it's unimaginable. It's miraculous what God can do with those small beginnings. So I hope that encourages you today. All right, you guys, thanks for being on. Hey, let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for the miracle of the kingdom of God, how you're able to do so much with so little. Lord, thank you for the miraculous growth of your kingdom that started with just a few people and literally blankets the world now. Help us to continue to spread the good news. Help us to be your ambassadors of grace, of the gospel. Lord, thank you for my friends today, wherever they are, all across the United States, maybe even around the world. May you bless them and encourage them, strengthen them in the mighty name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Thank you guys so much for being on. Hope you guys have a fantastic day today. Thank you for subscribing to the YouTube channel. That way you know whenever we have new episodes. We'll be back on it on Monday as we continue our readings through Lent. Hope you guys have a fantastic day and weekend. Love you guys. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.